The Lord is truly our strength. It's more than an old song. It's a great reality. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Amen. Aren't you glad for a rock? If you'd like to go ahead and turn in your scriptures to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to look at his word this evening. And I'm going to ask you just to remain seated because I want to make some pre-comments tonight before I read the text. And before I begin, let's just pause and let's pray tonight. Father, these are your people. We're gathered together in your name. You're the eternal God, and we pray by your eternal spirit that you'd open our hearts and minds to receive from the eternal word of God, your word, your revelation. Lord, we pray for the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts here and hearts beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. I am going to continue our pursuing God. And I don't know if it's possible to go ahead and get the title up, but tonight I'm going to talk about pursuing God by leaving the world. Pursuing God by leaving the world. And the pre-comments I'm going to make, I think you can agree with me on this, is the American church recently has really evolved into something other than most of us were familiar with when we grew up. Maybe I should use the word de-evolved, okay? But it's not that. It's not that the church has become something we're not familiar with. The church has become something the apostles would be unfamiliar with. And I'm not talking because we have air conditioner or microphones or projectors. I'm talking about what is preached, what is taught, is not what the apostles or Jesus Christ taught. How many knows we're under a mandate to continue for the faith as it was once delivered unto the saints? And we find that in the Word of God, in the Scripture. Now, one of the ways I have found that the modern church has played fast and loose with the gospel is this. They ignore or deny or discard a major truth of Scripture. And a truth of Scripture is the truth of sanctification or holiness. Okay, it's been discarded, it's been denied, it's been gotten rid of. That's bad enough. But how many knows we're living in a time when the church is making fun of people who believe in the truth of sanctification and holiness? They make fun of them. How many knows that? We're living in that time. And in response to my blog, it's no big deal. It was just a good illustration at this point. To my blog today, someone commented that I was self-righteous to write that, if you haven't read the blog. And I thought, wait a minute, don't you have to feel more righteous to call somebody else self-righteous? It's kind of thinking that way. And so with that in mind, let's read these scriptures. I'm going to give you one note before I read them. We're going to read two verses that we could have read a big portion of that chapter, two verses from 2 Corinthians, and then we're going to read one verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. As I told you many times, chapter divisions came much later with the Bible, and verse 1 of chapter 7 really, really, really goes with the last verses of chapter 6. So let me just read those to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Then chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, which promises? That the Father would receive us, that we would be his sons and daughters. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, let me tell you one of the things that the modern church does with this. They act like this is a call for people to come out of the world to get saved. In other words, come out from among them and get saved. Anyone that believes that needs only to read the verses just prior to the ones that I read. And the apostle already said he's talking about believers and unbelievers. And then he addresses believers and he says, come out from among them and be ye separate. And for good reason, because these Corinthians had gotten saved, but they thought they could go ahead and live like they lived before they got saved. I mean, it got really bad, even immorality. And Paul says, wait a minute, you are a believer. What fellowship have light with darkness? If you're a believer, you come out from among them. Now, it's not talking about you don't have any association with people of the world. It's talking about people of the world doing the things of the world, being the world. You come out from that. Amen. And I want just to show you that it's not just the archaic language of the King James Version. And I'm only doing this to make a point. I'm going to read from probably the most modern liberal paraphrase. And what I want you to notice is it's still there. It's still there. Listen to this. So leave the corruption and compromise. Leave it for good, says God. Don't link up with those who would pollute you. I want you all for myself. I'll be a father to you. You'll be sons and daughters to me. The word of the Master God, with promises like this to pull on us, dear friends, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. Let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God. Doesn't it still say it? Come here. Now, I want you to notice something else in those verses, because this is very important. It wasn't just coming out from them, the world. It was moving into relationship with God, a deeper relationship with God. I want to tell you, there's no other way that I can see this and other verses of the New Testament, but we as believers are to seek holiness in our lives. You say, what does this have to do with pursuing God? Because we're going to discover that one of the ways we pursue God is to pursue holiness. Be ye therefore holy as I am holy. We're to seek holiness in our lives. And I want to tell you right now, that's a huge subject. And I'm not going to treat it theologically tonight. And I'm not even going to treat it by going through all the verses and looking at the different. I started a book on that and never got it finished. But I mean, there's all kinds of ways the word holiness is used. But very simply and very basically, the word holiness means separation. There is a separation. Now, I want to give you a real simple illustration here. Help me out, Oliver, again, real quick. I think you were something good last time. Let's make you something bad tonight. You're the world, okay? Zach, would you mind helping me? Just sit down right there. Zach, you're going to be God tonight. Here's holiness in its simplest form, separation. I'm over here with the world. I separate myself from the world. But I'm not just separating myself from the world. I am separating myself to God. See that? Thank you, guys. That's simple. Is that it? Yeah, that's it. It's a separation from the world because you're moving towards God. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Separating from the world because you're separating to God. See, if I'm pursuing God, it must change my relationship with the world. If my relationship with the world has not changed, I'm not pursuing God. Amen. Now, look, this is one of the words we could talk about all night. What do we mean by world? Not the planet, not the globe, not just even the inhabitants of the world. But the world is anything in culture, anything in entertainment, anything in fashions, anything in arts, anything in attitudes, anything in ideologies that turns people from God. That's the world, right? Amen. You see, the world is how people who do not know God do things. That's what the world is. How people who do not know God do things. The world is how people who do not know God think. Right? There's a difference. There's a distinction. And you know, some people, it really gets me. I was at a meeting, it's been many years ago now, when one of the preachers got up and said, I hate the word holiness. And I thought, are you talking about the word holiness in the Bible, or are you talking about the word holiness in some people that has twisted things? Because the word holiness is a very beautiful word. And I told you this is a huge subject, and I can't go over it tonight, but let me tell you just one thing. Here's a way to look at holiness. Holiness is to your spiritual man what health is to your physical man. Isn't health for the physical man good? And so holiness is to the spiritual man what health is to the physical man. It's a good thing. Whether or not I'm pursuing God is determined by whether or not I'm seeking holiness. I'm seeking separation from the world. Let me show you some ways how you can know, and I can know, that we are truly seeking holiness. First of all, I'm just going to give you one words. First of all, direction. I give you the little illustration, but it is that simple. Which direction is your life, your heart? Which direction is it headed? Let me read these scriptures again. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Come out from among them. Now, what direction is that? That's away from the world. Be you separate. And look at the end of the verse. And I will receive you. You've left the world, so your direction is from the world and to God. It's all about direction. Amen. I'm going to have to get moving here, but I just start thinking of things that I think need shared. But I was talking to one of my Bible school friends, and somehow we got on how many people that we had, guys we'd seen in the dorm on fire for God, and some of them were preachers and all so excited, and how so many of them, they're not preachers, they're not even serving God, they're not even Christians. Do you know every day, every week, every month, it is about direction, right? It's which way is our hearts headed? I'd already been listening to someone else, but someone sent me a link. Thank you. And it was a preacher making fun of people who believed and preached holiness. It was a lady preacher, very well known. And she had people roaring with laughter and approval as she went down through the list and attacked things that people of holiness churches believe that are of the world. And the people would just laugh when she said it, and they would shout in agreement. And it got worse. She viciously called these people legalists. I would say about 9% of the time when I hear a person throwing around the word legalist, they have no idea what they're talking about, right? And she called them legalists, and the crowd roared. But did you know she went on to say that if people preach and believe in holiness, that they have demon spirits? She said that. We have demon spirits. And she took verses all out of context. And then she started boasting that she was thinking about getting a tattoo. And when she said she was going to get a tattoo, you ought to have heard that crowd. They thought that was the greatest thing they ever heard. And she began to equate the belief in holiness to say that what we believe is a list of do's and don'ts, that Christians can do this and Christians can't do that, and do's and don'ts. And then she affirmed that a Christian can, in fact, do those things. They'll tell you you can't do it, but you can do it. I'm thinking, you know, some things, whether you can or can't, if they're bad for you, why would you want to tell people they can? Right? And so she said, everything that they said you can't do, you can do. And then she slipped, because as she worked her way through it, she said, we don't get drunk. And I thought, why not? If it doesn't matter what you do, if nothing's wrong, why not? And I said all that to say this, there is an attack on people who would believe that. They ridicule it. They ridicule it, but they ridicule not understanding it. Listen, if holiness to you is just a list of do's and don'ts and things you can't do, you've never understood what this is about. This is about falling in love with God and Jesus and loving Him so much you don't want distance between you and Him. You want to close the distance between you and the Lord. And so holiness, this separation from the world and separation to God. What is wrong with separating to God? Now, I will tell you tonight, either one of these is wrong. First of all, it's wrong to say that holiness is simply coming to God. but not leaving the world. Why is it wrong? Because that's impossible. I'm going to use the illustration of physics a lot tonight, or geography. It's impossible to come to one thing without leaving another. Because how many knows that God and the world are on opposite? Right? So it's impossible. So if folks tell you you can come to God without leaving the world, that's wrong. Other folks will tell you that's all their message is, leave the world, leave the world, leave the world. If that's all your message, that is wrong. Because holiness is separation from this world in order to separate yourself to God. So it's about direction. Now let me tell you something that gets us. It's not, you please understand me tonight in context. It's not about perfection. It is about direction. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, some people say, well, if you be a perfect Christian, then you'll measure up to this, and that'll make you perfect. Okay? So one or two things happen. Some people go through the list because it's usually things you can take care of, you know. You know, it's not things like control your anger. It's things like don't watch this. Well, you can take care of that. So one thing people do, they'll go through the list and the perfection list, and I say, well, I'm perfect. I've made through the list. Other people, they'll keep stumbling on something and say, I can't check that, and they'll give up, say, I'll never be perfect. And yes, ultimately the goal is to be perfect, but this quest of pursuing God, it is not about perfection, because how many knows, number one, we'll never reach perfection till we get to heaven. It's not about perfection. It's about direction. Is your heart headed that way? You don't go to Brother Steve and say, Brother Steve, you're not a good Christian. You're carnal because you don't do this and you do this. You just don't measure up to perfection. That's not the way. You don't even do that to yourself. It's simply this question. Which direction am I headed? Am I headed world or am I headed towards God? Let me give you some scriptures tonight. These are great scriptures from Paul's personal testimony. Philippians chapter 3, he said, not as though I've already attained. In other words, I haven't reached perfection. Either we're already perfect. I'm not there. But it's not about perfection, he said, but I follow after, if that I might apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ. I wish I had time to preach this. Let me just briefly tell you what Paul just said. He said, I want to get a hold of what got a hold of me. How many remembers what got a hold of you when you got saved? Grace and mercy and the presence of power. And Paul said, I want to get a hold of what got a hold of me. What's wrong with that? Where was that? Verse 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I've not reached perfection. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press towards the mark. There's no question the direction Paul was pushing for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Then he says something interesting here. Oh, I wish I had time. I don't. But he said, let us therefore as many as be perfect. He doesn't mean they've reached perfection, but in the eyes of God, they're perfect. Why in the eyes of God are they perfect? Because they're in Christ and they're reaching out for more of Christ. Anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. So the question tonight is, which direction? Which direction is my heart headed? If it's towards God, it'll be away from the world. If it's towards the world, it'll be away from the God. Let me tell you, two quick truths here. The outside and the inside cannot be moving in opposite directions. Right? Think of your automobile. The inside, your engine, and the body of your car cannot, if they're moving in opposite directions, you've just had a crash. Okay? The second thing, your heart, like your body, cannot be in two places at the same time. So how many sometimes wish your body could be in two places? And you'll tell them, you'll say to the kids, mom will say, I can't be in two places at the same time. Did you know your heart can't be in two places at the same time? Let's move on. The second word I want to leave with you tonight is affection, not just direction. How do you know whether you're pursuing God and staying out of the world? It's affection. Separation in the Bible to God was always about dedication. Let me explain that. If you went to the tabernacle, you separated a sheep from your flock. That was holiness. You separated that sheep. You separated it to God. You took it to to the temple, but separation to God always involved dedication. Guess what? That sheep did not come home with you because you gave that sheep to God. How many knows that's what holiness is? You take yourself from the world. You bring yourself to God in dedication. I give myself to you. Why would that people do that? Because they wanted God. And wanting God, they dedicated themselves to Him. That's holiness. It's wanting God. So you dedicate your life, your activities, your thoughts, your desires. You dedicate yourself in totality to God. Let's look at some scriptures here, and all these could bear explanation, but we'll just use them to make a point. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father. It's of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. You see, it isn't about what you can or can't do. It's about where your affection is. If my affection is set on God, I won't have affection for the things of the world. But on the other hand, if my affection is set on things of the world, I won't have affection for the things of God. It's an impossibility. Amen. Amen. You see, again, let's address that. Well, folks who believe in sanctification and holiness, it's always about you can't do this and you can't do that. No, sir. It's a matter of affection. It's a matter of I don't want to do that because my affection is on God. Someone just say amen. Help us out tonight. How many knows in the end people pursue what they really want? Amen. Look at Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. You know, many, many years ago, too long ago that anyone would figure out who am I talking about, but we had a family that came into the church and they seemed to be doing really good at first, and then I could tell they were, you know, just moving away, growing cold. And one time in conversation, you know, some people begin to share things before they realize what they're saying, you know, or who they're saying it to. And the sister began to talk about this wonderful new show on television that she just loved, and she couldn't miss an episode, and she had to tape every episode of it. And I can't remember if it was Bachelor or Bachelorette or what. Does anyone know the kind of show? Well, you don't want to incriminate it, but... Let me ask you something. Is there anything at all on a show like that that would be an encouragement to the spiritual man and the spiritual life? See, it is about affection. We manifest outwardly what we desire inwardly, right? We manifest outwardly what our affection inwardly is set upon. Amen. If we have affection to please God, we have a desire to fulfill His principles. Everything from modesty to inward beauty instead of outer beauty, of godliness instead of worldliness. Even the Lord's Day. Our affection is on Him, so we want to dedicate the Lord's Day to Him. Amen. We're getting in that wonderful theme park, amusement park, vacation time. But you know, if I love God, I'd rather be in His house on a Sunday rather than at King's Island, right? What's wrong with that? Nothing if you see it about affection. Let me ask you this. How many knows that Christ likened His relationship with us as of a groom with a bride? That's not just a pretty metaphor. That says a whole lot. How many of you men, before you got married, would have happily went ahead and married your wife if you found out she had 3 or 4 other boyfriends on the side? Thank you, Brother Steve. How many would have believed that her affection was dedicated and devoted totally to you when she was going out with other men? You know, it happened in reverse, but one of my friends in Bible school, of course, you kind of lose track of the summer, but he's going to get married, and he asked me to be his best man, and so we drove to that location. And, you know, you have the rehearsal, and then you have the wedding, and then you have the reception. And the night of the reception, we were all sitting around outside, and one of his aunts came to me and called his name and said, "You knew he went out with another woman last night, other than his bride-to-be, went out for a last fling with her, whatever." I said, "Why didn't you tell me? If you had told me before the wedding, I would have went to the pastor. I would have went to her and her family." Why is... But you see, this is reversed here. She didn't know that he had affection elsewhere. How many knows God fully knows whether our affection is totally on him or not? The next word is formation. I'm talking about this pursuing holiness, because in doing so, we pursue God. How do I know I'm pursuing holiness? Formation. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God." Do you see that word again? That presents your bodies. Remember that little picture I gave you back in Israel? They separated a sheep from the flock, and they separated it by taking it to the temple, and then they dedicated it. That's all the imagery here. But Paul said we ought to do that with ourselves. We don't go get a little sheep anymore, take it from the flock, take it to the house of God, and give it to God. He says this about ourselves. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, separated, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. But what I really want to look at is verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What I want to see out of everything in those verses, what I want to see is there are forces at work upon us. There are forces at work upon us. Did you know it's undeniable that the world is a corrupting influence? Let me ask you, has the world ever made someone more godly, more compassionate? Has the world ever made somebody feel closer to God and know the presence of God? And no. It's a power. It's a deceiving power. How can you say that, preacher? Well, look at the word conformed. You don't see this, but if you would study it, it shows the same in English. The word conform meant to be pressed into the mold. Some of you kids have the little Play-Doh molds, and you take the molds, and you take the Play-Doh, and you smash them in. And guess what? When you smash the Play-Doh into the mold, and you take the mold off, guess what the Play-Doh looks like? It looks like the mold. And that's what this admonition of Paul is. Don't let the pressures of this world press you into the form of this world. That force is at work even on Christians. Now let's just all be honest. How many knows work, shopping, life? You actually can feel those pressures at work upon you. But I want you to know something else. That pressure for the believer is an outside force. It's the outside force of the world pressing down upon us. Paul said, don't let it happen. Don't let the outside influence of this world press you into the mold of the world. But there's another force at work. But be ye transformed. But that's not an outside force for a believer. That's an inside influence in force. And we as believers, we're aware of this. We know God at work in us. We know the Holy Spirit at work in us. But we know the pressure of this world. And so Paul says we can make a decision. Do we cave to the outside pressures that would conform us to this world? Or do we yield to the inside workings of the Holy Spirit that would transform it? You see, it's about formation. Everybody here, if you're here, wave at me if you're here. Okay, there's some people that's here but not here. Every person here has forces at work upon you. How many wants to be transformed? Amen. Amen. Making the decision, is it going to be the force of the world or the force of God? regardless. It doesn't matter what people teach. It doesn't matter even what I teach tonight. The bottom line is ultimately each of us will make that decision. Which force do I cave to? I love it. I know it's an old song, but I love to hear young people. I love to hear people. I love to hear myself sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. The cross before me, the world behind me. Because it's making a decision which force. And you know, you don't just make that decision once. You make it over and over and over again. When I get up in this morning, whoo, it's been a long night, long day. But if I get up, what comes next? Tomorrow morning, I'll make a decision. Do I let the world conform me or do I let the Spirit transform me? Last word tonight is the word examination. You know, if you keep going in the right direction, you have to keep examining to make sure you're headed in the right direction. I was going somewhere the other day, and I couldn't remember where I was at, if I needed to turn right or left on that road. You know, a road you come out on, but you're not sure where you came out on the road. And I'm thankful that in one of our vehicles, we have a digital compass. And all I had to do is look up at the compass and tell what direction I was headed. Amen? It's a wonderful thing to be able to examine and tell which direction you're headed. Look at verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 11. It says, but let a man examine himself. Yes. Paul had earlier or later says, examine yourselves whether or not you be in the faith. Or could put it this way. Paul said, take a look to make sure you're headed in the right direction. Now, I want to address them just very briefly here, but in Scripture, there's always a tension. It's always there. And we've been dealing with it tonight, though I haven't highlighted it. Here's the tension. Did you know the Bible says in the end, only God knows the heart? Only God can search the heart. Yet it tells us to search our own hearts. How many knows in the end, only God can sanctify us? And yet it tells us to sanctify ourselves, right? What's going on here? Well, let me just give you a very simple illustration. And you know, let's take Xander. He's about 3. You know, if there was a mud puddle, I'm pretty sure he'd be fully capable of getting himself muddy. So how many knows there's no problem with us getting ourselves muddy? Okay? But a 3-year-old gets himself muddy, and he goes into mom. I want to tell you something. If a 3-year-old gets themselves muddy, I don't think any 3-year-old could sufficiently get all the mud off of them. How many believes there's any 3-year-old that would get all the, if they're really muddy, they're going to get all the mud? It takes mom. It takes scrubbing. Mom knows how to get behind the ears. So a 3-year-old that's got muddy cannot cleanse himself. But he can do 2 things. Number one, when he's muddy, he can come to mom. And the other thing he can do is after mom cleans him up, he can stay out of the mud. He can do those things. How many knows we cannot make ourselves righteous, but we can do 2 things. Number one, when we're unrighteous, we can come to God. And number two, when he cleans us up, we can determine in our hearts by his grace, we're going to stay out of the mud puddle. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with preaching that when God cleanses us, let's stay out of the mud puddle? If God forgives you for looking at that junk on the computer, make a decision. You're not going to look at it. Right? I can't clean all the mud off. Only the blood of Jesus can. Go ahead and come, music, so I'll quit. What are you talking about? Examine yourself. Which direction am I headed? You know, my heart is very disturbed, and I see things in descriptions like this. But you take people that have just met Jesus Christ, overjoyed that he has forgiven them and cleansed their hearts. Let's take some of them. I'm saved. I'm washed. Those people so saved, they will say, I am leaving those things of the world. I won't do them again. I don't want any part of it. But at the same time, people are getting saved and saying of those things of the world, I'm through with them. I don't want any more of them. We have people who have been, quote unquote, saved all their lives, been in church all their lives, that are looking over and accepting and wanting the same things the people are getting saved from are leaving. Think about this. I mean, the lady that was the preacher that was saying it's okay to do this, and the church roared with approval. I know folks that genuinely got saved, amen, didn't have even the teaching that like I'm given tonight, but when they got saved, they knew that stuff took them down. They knew that polluted their mind. They knew it was a bad, and when they got saved, they said, I'm through with it. And now we got a preacher saying, you can do that and be a Christian. Think about it. Since it's Easter's time, the same time a great revival hit our school here, however many years ago that was, about 15, 14, I don't know, I forgot now. But I was preaching a revival in California, and God came down. I mean, people were getting saved every night. Tremendous things were happening. I love to see that. We need to believe God to see that again here, and we will. But, I mean, I love it. I mean, I tell you what, we ought to want to see people sitting in these pews that would just shock you when you look at them. Because of where they came from. You know what I'm trying to say? Amen. And in this revival, folks are getting saved. And it's a tremendous thing. Bikers, I mean, you outside, they come up in their motorcycles. And it was tremendous. And this fella, he had really gotten saved. And, you know, I don't even know what lifestyle you'd call that. But real long hair and all kinds of stuff on him. And he had this big old, what would you call it, stud or in his tongue, right in the middle of his tongue. You know, I want to tell you, when God gets to moving, he does things that you have to say, that's God, and I'm going to believe that's God, even though that's not what I would have done. How many's ever noticed that God can do things you wouldn't have done it that way? Good deal. There's only room for one God. But this guy got to seek him for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'll never forget, I was watching him when it happened. And he had that old stud, thank you, in his tongue. And all of a sudden, as he began to worship and seek God, he began to speak in other tongues. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Whew. Tremendous. Pastor told me, he said, you know what? He said, some want me to say something about that tongue stud, but he said, I don't need to, because if he really got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't need to say a word to him about it. And this guy with no church background, nothing, he came the next night, and it wasn't there. He said, Pastor, could I testify? Sure you can. He said, I was taking my shower for church tonight, and God said to me, it's got to go. And he said, I played dumb. What? He said, I knew. It's got to go. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. Why'd that happen? Not because he got a righteous spirit and said, I want to look righteous. I'm not going to do this and that. No, because he was all out for God. He wanted everything God had for him. And as he separated himself to God, there was that natural separating himself from the world. And then to have some preacher say, it's okay to do that. Don't tell that fellow that. God just filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he's discovered that God speaks to him and leads him and draws him. What is wrong with that? What is wrong with serving God all out completely, 100%? What's wrong with loving God with all your soul, all your mind, all your heart? Hallelujah. Would you stand? Father, thank you for your people. Make your word a living thing in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to move towards you. And in moving towards you, we move away from the conformity of this world that would press us into its mold. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to come tonight simply if it's your heart's desire, that your direction is set on God and you're saying, I know, like everyone else, two forces are at work on me, an outward force for me to conform, an inward force for me to be transformed. But tonight, I'm going to let God and these altars just do some transformation. Amen. Would you come and fill these altars? Amen. Let's seek him tonight. Let's pursue his presence. Amen. Come, let's pursue his presence.
Yes.